Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want to, you know, be in a relationship with somebody, whether it's a friend or whether it's a romantic relationship, right? We want to feel good in that relationship. And so what happens for many people is that they're looking for that other person to in some way make them feel important, valued, loved, right? Now, here's the problem. When you're dealing with a narcissist, you're dealing with a fundamentally broken human, and you are attached to how they're treating you.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life.
Hi, and welcome to today's episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I am so excited to be here with Joanna Kleinman, who is an amazing, amazing person and also doing incredible work in the world. She is a therapist and a counselor, but she's also the founder of a whole program and movement, really, on dethroning your inner critic. And she's got a podcast, and she's writing a book, and she's doing all kinds of amazing things with it. And she's going to talk with us today about moving on and how to get over a narcissist or any kind of a toxic relationship. And, you know, sometimes it's like one of the hardest things to do. But anyway, welcome, Joanna.
Thank you, Rebecca. It is an honor and a privilege to be here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And I just want to mention that you and I met through our dear friend, Tammy Leader Fuller, who founded Camp Powerment, which is an incredible, incredible source that was originally for women, but now it's for all sorts of people. And they're doing a whole online platform. So I encourage people to check out Camp Powerment. And you and I were roommates when we were experts together.
Yes,
so
we were.
It's just kind of a funny thing to like meet someone and then just all of a sudden be roommates, which I guess kids do all the time. But, you know, you don't normally do that as grownups. But it worked out great.
It did. It did. We spent 4 days together. And, you know, when you live with somebody for 4 days, you know, you really get to know them and a lot about their life. And it was wonderful.
It really was. It was like I gained like a best friend in the first 4 days, right? So it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was. It was great.
So I'm really excited to have you here because a lot of the people in my community are dealing with toxic relationships and trying to get over them. And I would love for you to sort of weigh in and help us with how to move on, how to get past that.
Absolutely.
And so what's, you know, one of the things that you would suggest for people to do?
Yeah. So here's the thing about, you know, relationships in general, right? We get almost attached to how other people treat us, right? We want to be loved. We want to be respected. We want to, you know, be in a relationship with somebody, whether it's a friend or whether it's a romantic relationship, right? We want to feel good in that relationship. And so what happens for many people is that they're looking for that other person to in some way make them feel important, valued, loved, right? Now, here's the problem. When you're dealing with a narcissist, you're dealing with a fundamentally broken human, and you are attached attached to how they're treating you, right? You're demanding, you need to treat me with the love and the respect that I deserve, okay? Except the issue is that other human, because of their own inner issues that they have way before they met you, they're not capable. And what happens in toxic relationships is that this is all very unconscious, but people personalize that. So their emotions get so triggered by this person and their behavior. And then they go to try to fix or control or change the narcissist. If you would just behave in this way so that I can feel loved and I can feel valued. And that's where people can feel so emotionally damaged because they're expecting this other person to make them feel in a way that that other person is just not capable of making them feel.
I totally agree. And that's super incredible insight. I was wondering if you could also sort of expound on the fact that, you know, narcissists have this pattern that they have with in relationships, which is love bomb, devalue, discard. And there's they kind of go back and forth between these various. I tell people all the time, it's not linear. It's not love bomb, stop, devalue, stop, discard, stop. They'll be love bombing, then devalue, love bomb, devalue. And can you talk about, from a psychological perspective, what's happening with somebody's brain when that's happening?
Yeah. So the narcissistic personality is really created by worthlessness, but the narcissist doesn't know that. Okay. So there. So what happens in a person's life when they are very young? Okay. Something happens where they feel a fundamental sense of worthlessness. They don't even have to remember what it was, but this worthlessness gets created. And then this person will sort of try to overcompensate for that worthlessness by trying to control a lot of areas of, you know, his or her life, okay? So, that's what's going on psychologically, okay? Is that the narcissist is very focused externally on control and on power. And so there's pretty much no willingness or availability to take ownership for themselves about how they are thinking in a way that's creating, right, the toxic parts of the relationships. In other words, they're going to blame everything and everyone but themselves for the reason why the relationship looks the way that it does. And that's just their pattern, right? And they're not capable of inwardly taking responsibility and ownership for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because, and you can tell me from the psychological perspective, but I think it's because if they somehow, it's a survival protection for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if they take responsibility, then somehow they're exposed as being worthless.
That's right. So, you know, what's so interesting is that if you look at our physical brains, okay, and the hardwiring of our brains, going back millions of years ago, right, our brains were developed to keep us safe, okay, right? And millions of years ago, that meant like you weren't going to be eaten for dinner, okay? But nowadays, what that means is you're hardwired to try to protect the inward thing that causes you the most pain. So if you think about the narcissist and their fundamental sense of worthlessness, their lives are wrapped around making sure that that feeling of worthlessness will never be touched by anyone or anything. So that's the survival mechanism, is let me control you so that you never have access to touch on that pain.
Yeah. Right? That's good stuff. Good stuff.
Yep.
So now, okay, now these people have gotten into a relationship with these people, and I personally have had to deal with them. I mean, I would say not husbands, because my poor husband, I don't want people to think it's him, but other people in my life who were close enough to me to wreak havoc. And actually, you were kind enough to give me lots of great advice about one of them when we were, you know, roommates together, who's now, thank God, no longer a part of my life. But, you know, I tell people this and I'm open about it because I want them to know that, yes, I'm a successful attorney and I've done all these things in my life, but it can happen to anybody. And if you're an empathic person and you want to be kind and you want to be generous and you think that you can help these people and you know, you end up doing these things or it's a people pleaser problem or whatever it is, but you end up, you know, getting sucked into that vortex of toxicity.
That's
and, so how do you move on? How do you get over this person? How do you get them out of your thoughts and out of your life?
Yeah. Yep. It's a great question. So, the bottom line is when you individually from within feel calm and at peace and good about yourself, you're able to recognize that you don't need this person or any person, really. You don't need anyone to make you feel good enough, loved enough, important enough. So what's really crucial is that if you are somebody that needs to break away from a toxic relationship, that you're doing your own inner work. Okay. Because here's the thing. Many, many people don't recognize that they have this automatic mind that talks to them all day long from the moment they get up to the moment they go to bed. And they listen to this mind. Okay. They identify with the thoughts in our minds. And by the way, we have 50,000 to 80,000 thoughts a day in our minds. Okay. And most people don't understand that our minds just go. We don't tell our minds where to go. It just goes, right? So it's just like our bodies breathe for us. Our minds just go. And when you identify with all of the thoughts in your mind is whipping you all over the place, right? Why did he treat me that way? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with me that there's something wrong with him, right? All these places where when you're in that toxic relationship, you feel badly about yourself. So the healing is really about taking your relationship with yourself, right, to actually a completely relocated mind, okay, where you're no longer listening to the automatic thoughts of your old mind that, truth be told, have been playing on a loop for forever, right? So what's interesting is that, you know, when you think about the feelings that come up within this toxic relationship, you might notice that on some level you've had these feelings before. They might not have been as intense, okay? But they've shown up in other areas of your life and they've shown up in other times. So a toxic relationship is really a mirror, right? For you to look at, where are the places where I lost myself? Where are the places where I, right? Like you said, Rebecca, right? I've been a people pleaser. I've been an over-functioner. I knew somewhere in my gut that this behavior was unacceptable, but I made excuses for it. I justified it, right? I had this inner feeling that I ignored, right? So when we can tap.
I can definitely say that was true for me.
That's right.
From the beginning. Yeah.
And you know what? And I wonder if you hear this in the people that you work with, because that's what I hear. I mean, we're talking thousands of people. I knew from the beginning. And I just, you know, I thought that he could change or she could be different or whatever it is, right? That inner knowing is inner wisdom. And when we're operating from that old automatic mind, we're not tapped into inner wisdom. We'd rather stick with, right, what we already have. We're very reluctant to let go because in the letting go of the relationship, right, that's scary. Oh my God, we're alone, right? We don't have this person. What if I never get into a relationship again? What if I can't, you know, live my life without my partner, right? So it's fear that keeps you stuck and attached to holding on to something that you know deep down is toxic, but you'd rather hold on to it than deal with all of the feelings of fear associated with letting it go. And so the healing for people is to be able to deal with that fear, but also know, right, that when you learn how to think in a way where you can feel good, you can design a different life moving forward, where you are no longer people pleasing and you're no longer accepting things that are unacceptable and you're no longer ignoring that inner sense of wisdom and truth.
Coming up, more with Joanna Kleinman on Moving On, Get Over the Narcissist.
That's your survival mechanism, okay? Is trying to control your future so that you don't have pain, which sets you up to always feel this overwhelming sense of fear because we can't control the future.
Not everyone needs full representation by an attorney on retainer. In fact, sometimes lawyering up can make things worse. At Hello Divorce, you get the best of all worlds. You get technology and legal professionals. You get some help along the way, and you get to do the parts yourself that you want to do yourself. Just $99 a month, cancel at any time. You can use their divorce navigator, think TurboTax for divorce, to prepare all of your legal forms. Right now, it's available in California, but it will be expanding soon to other states. Sign up free and get a 15-minute free intro call and access to loads of curated resources, tools, and worksheets designed to make the divorce process affordable, transparent, empowering, and successful. Use the code HELLO50 to get $50 off toward anything you'd like. Just go to HelloDivorce.com to get started today. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear more on how to negotiate your best life, including Escaping Hell, Leave a Narcissist for Good with Tracy Malone.
How were you able to escape and finally keep going? Like, what finally triggered in your head, like, that this is not okay, and I'm just going to keep walking. I'm going to keep walking away no matter how hard it is.
Survival. You don't have a choice. I mean, your choice is to lay and have the covers over your head or fight.
And now we return to today's show.
Yeah. I know for me, it just, you know, like all of a sudden, because it was like little things, because I was dealing with a covert narcissist. Well, I had two different ones in my life, but the one that you knew about, it was like this death by a thousand cuts. There were like a whole bunch of little things that weren't right. Yeah. But, you know, with covert narcissists, they're so subtle and they're really, really good at being passive aggressive and just manipulative enough to get under your skin, but they live on this balance of, you know, this teetering of just enough to annoy you and traumatize you, but not enough for the world to see what they're doing to you. So the rest of the world sees them as good and kind and great and so nice and wonderful people, and only you see that other side of them. And so it's that whole gaslighting thing of, you know, making you think like you're the one that's crazy because look, the rest of the world thinks I'm amazing.
Yes.
You know? And so It's really, really tough. And I know for me, one of the things, because I'm a ruminator and, you know, I was like always obsessing over what is this person doing? What are they going to do next? And, you know, and so I would say one of the things that people can do to stop, and I say this in other videos as well, is like, don't obsess. Don't stop. I had this epiphany of if I'm like obsessing about what this other person is going to do to me next, or, you know, is stabbing me behind the back or whatever they're doing.
Yes.
I'm not creating. I'm not in positive mode. I'm not experiencing joy in my life at that moment.
Yes.
So
yes.
Can you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Okay. So obsessional thoughts, what that really is control. Okay. Let me think about this over and over and over again. So I can in some way control whether this person is going to hurt me. How is he or she behaving, right? What's going to happen, right? So that's all about trying to control your future, which is an illusion. It's impossible. Okay. Now, control issues put your physical brain into fight, flight, freeze, right? Remember going back to that brain, that physical brain that's geared towards survival. Okay. When we're trying to control something that we have no control over, which is somebody else's behavior. We have no control over how somebody else behaves. Okay. But we're trying to find that control over something that we have no control over. So exactly what you're saying when we're in.
So fight, say that flight, again, fight, yeah, flight, yeah. Freeze.
Fight, flight, freeze. It is the primitive part of our brain. Okay. It is the primitive part of our brain that is only rooted in survival. That's your survival mechanism. Okay. Is trying to control your future so that you don't have pain, which sets you up to always feel this overwhelming sense of fear because we can't control the future.
And we can't control the other person.
You can't control the other person, and you can't control anything that isn't right here, right now. You can control your thoughts, your emotions, and your behavior. And so when you are in fight, flight, freeze brain, you don't have access to the higher level of thinking in other parts of your brain. And it is those parts of your brain that are associated with creativity, innovation, groundedness, right? You don't have any access to that. So you get into, you know, when you talk about obsession, what you're talking about is this repetitive thought loop where you've got a thought that leads to a feeling that leads to a behavior that leads to another thought that lead, right? And you're, before you know it, you're in this vicious cycle of, right. of a thought that keeps looping.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just is like the loop of insanity. It's basically the definition of insanity because there's never going to be any good outcome from that. And when you were saying something about, you know, you were expecting this narcissist or this toxic person to, you know, make you feel better or feel, you know, love or whatever. The flip side of that is people who will say to me, he makes me feel like crap. He makes, or she makes me feel blah, blah, blah. And so giving them that power of saying, you know, I'm going to allow you to dictate how I feel. And I'm giving you that permission to dictate how I feel. And you're giving this person who feels worthless about their own selves.
That's right.
To dictate how you're going to feel. And you're never going to have any satisfaction from that.
That's right.
So I want to also talk about, you know, a lot of people who are dealing with these people, they're constantly going, why are they doing this? You know, a reasonable person wouldn't act this way.
Right.
So talk about, you know, how to stop trying to apply reason to unreasonable.
That's right. So where you lose your reasoning, right? If you are in a toxic relationship, where you lose your reasoning is by buying into the thought, okay, which is really fundamentally a belief, right? A belief is a thought we think over and over and over again, okay? So the belief is you make me feel worthless, no good, right? You make me feel that way. Now, here's the thing. Okay, if you're a healthy person, the most fundamental thing that you can do as far as shifting into a different mind is recognizing that there isn't a human being alive that can make you feel worthless, unlovable, unimportant, no good. Okay, they behave how they behave. It is your thoughts about how they behave that makes you feel these emotions. And most people don't understand that, right? Most people do really believe that it is this person that makes me feel that way, or it is this circumstance that makes me feel that way.
So faulty logic and cause and effect.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It is our thoughts.
Right.
It starts with our thoughts. Our thoughts determine our emotions, determine our behavior. So when we can recognize, right, that we can control our thoughts, emotions, and behaviors, we can let go and let people, they're going to behave how they behave. This narcissist is going to behave how she or he behaves. There is nothing that has nothing to do with you.
No.
And the only thing that we can do, right, when we're in a better mindset,
even if they say it's your fault, you caused this, blah, 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 it's still not. I mean, they're going to say that, right?
They're going to say that. That's part, listen, so the narcissist's automatic thought is always it's your problem. That's what a narcissist does. There's no ability to take ownership, right? And that's why they have a string of, right, like dysfunctional relationships. So the narcissist will always blame you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I know for me, you know, one of the things that was really important I had to recognize, oh my God, this person is sick. These people that I'm dealing with are narcissists. That's what they are. They're not going to get better. It's really sad. It's too bad. You know, you want things to be different because, you know, I'm a fixer. I have always been able to fix things, make things happen, you know. And so I thought that I could fix it, make it better, have it be at least cordial, have it be at least, you know, but you just can't do that when you're dealing with a person who is sick. Yeah. And so acknowledging your own behavior, acknowledging what you did to allow this to happen.
Yes.
Is I think really important, because then that actually allows you to take control over and realize, okay, I have control for the next time, you know, and forgive yourself and go, okay, this happened and I can learn from this. And now I know these things, but allowing, I allowed it to happen. You know, I mean, I love Maya Angelou's, where she says, when people show you who they are, believe them the first time. And I didn't do that. And so I had to take responsibility for that and then forgive myself and then move on.
Yes. Yes.
So we have like a couple minutes and I really want to get some of your like really awesome tidbits in there. So give us your last thoughts on how people can really, you know, move on and get over this.
Absolutely. Well, okay. So also to quote Maya Angelou, because she's so brilliant.
I know. I love her.
Oh, she's amazing, right?
Yeah.
So she says that we are blind until we see, and that when we know better, we do better. Okay.
Oh, yes. So, that's such a good one.
Right. So here's the way it is for all human beings on the planet. All human beings, our lives, right, are a journey. Okay. And so with every step that we, right, every chapter of our lives, we're blind until we see. And so rather than looking back and saying, I should have done this and I shouldn't have done that, the way that you can see this is this relationship, as toxic as it was, okay, it's all in service of your growth. It's all in service of your journey, right? Remember I said or it's a mirror, so that really almost you needed to be in this relationship and have this painful experience so that you can wake up. Because human beings, unfortunately, for every one of us, we only grow when we're in pain.
Yeah.
And sometimes we got to get hit in the face with a 2x4 before we wake up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Toxic relationships do. They wake us up.
Yep. Yep. What is it, Rumi, that says something like, where the wound is, that's where the light enters, or something like that?
Yes.
So good. And that's so true. And, you know, honestly, I wrote books on negotiation. I presented at Camp Powerment on negotiation. And, you know, my whole thing about negotiating with a narcissist has been born from having to deal with real narcissists in my real life. And so, yeah, I mean, I've been able to help, you know, now thousands and thousands of people.
Right.
Because of the pain that I suffered and helping people get past that.
So. Exactly. That's why I developed Dethroning Your Inner Critic, because of my 30-year journey of needing to unhook from my own automatic mind and rewire a new mind, right? It's like, that's what happens. We learn from our pain.
Absolutely.
And we grow. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This has been amazing. So tell us about you, where people can find out more about you, what you're up to.
Sure. Absolutely.
What they can do to get some of your amazing, awesome stuff.
Great, great. Yeah. So my website is dethroningyourinnercritic.com. And I have a podcast where you can find it wherever you find podcasts, called Dethroning Your Inner Critic. And I work with people all over the world. I work with men and women individually. And then I also have a group program that's all online. It all takes place over Zoom. And it is a program that's called Mastering Your Mind, where that's for women, okay? And I keep the groups fairly small, and you literally learn how to rewire a brand new mind to design the rest of your life moving forward.
Ah, awesome. So
it's amazing.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. I'm so excited that you were here, and I know this is going to help so many people. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanna.
Thank you for having me. This was a wonderful opportunity, Rebecca.
Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.